live from the Ron Scott Communications Center. This is From the Stand, and I am Steve Buss. This morning, we're going to meet this year's Bill Barber Award for Showmanship winner, Gary Ward. Right now, we are very honored to welcome back to the stand one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, Lieutenant Colonel George Hardy. Glad to have you back, sir.
Glad to be here.
Good.
Glad to be anywhere.
So, what have you been up to in the last year or so, keeping yourself busy?
I haven't been doing as much because of the whole COVID disease.
Yeah.
But I have had some occasions. I was fortunate to be at Boeing in April when they rolled out the T-7A.
Okay.
The new jet trainer. That was a beautiful airplane. And, in fact, they're supposed to have something here. I'll get over to see them later today.
Sounds good. Tell us a little bit about you and your life. How did you get interested in aviation?
I didn't think about flying until late in life. I graduated from high school in June of 42. 6 months after Pearl Harbor, and the country was gearing up for, they were warring with Germany and Japan, and Italy and Japan now. And I turned 17 the same month I graduated. So I was too young to go into the service. So I got a job working. And then in early 43, they said, if you're 17 and a high school graduate, you can take a exam for aviation cadet. I rushed up and got my birth certificate, which had a mistake on it, 6-6-25 instead of 6-8-25. But I used it anyhow. I figured I'd get in 2 days sooner. And I passed for the Army, and I was sworn in March 17th, 1943, as a private in the Army Reserve, and sent home and said, I'll get orders after I turn 18, which I did. I turned 18 in June and got orders and report in 30 days. I went through basic training and then the Tuskegee Fast Track for Aviation Cadet Program.
Wow.
And started Aviation Cadet training in December 43 and graduated in September 44.
Yep, I was just going to say, your class of 44.
And, 48.
What was the progression of aircraft that you flew? You flew the Stearman?
We had four 10-week phases, pre-flight, primary, basic, and advanced. Primary, we flew the PT-19. PT-19 with the wide landing gear, I like that. So, and then basic, the BT-13 and advanced AT-6. Mm-hmm. But the PT-19, Tuskegee Airmen had the contract for that. The Army contracted out primary flying because it has nothing to do with military flying. It's just teaching to fly an airplane. Then basic and advanced had Army instructors.
Mm-hmm. All right. And when were you deployed after that?
Well, after I graduated in September, I got time in the P-40. Then November, December, January, I went to Waldorf, South Carolina, training in a P-47 combat. And in December, I drove an automobile for the very first time. And then I went overseas in February and flew the P-51 in the 332nd Fighter Group,
right.
99th Fighter Squadron,
yeah.
In March and April. Flew 21 combat missions, yeah. P-51. I was still 19 then.
Oh, my goodness. So you were 19 before you drove a car? You were age 19?
That's right. Yeah. I was 19 before I drove a car in January.
So is it, you're one of those...
December.
You're one of those...
It was the LaSalle.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember, used to right behind the Cadillac.
That's right. Yeah, so that was a fancy car. So you actually had your pilot certificate for almost 2 years before you drove a car. So when you were flying, so you started flying the P-40, because that was the original airplane that the Tuskegee Airmen were going to fly, and then the 47, and then you got the Mustang.
Then the Mustang, yeah.
So compare those three.
Well, I loved all of them,
yeah.
Each of them. So, of course, the 47, I loved that, the wide landing gear. And it was a beautiful airplane. It was seemed sluggish and slow, but once you got the altitude and got speed, it was a great airplane.
Tell us about being deployed. Where were you based overseas?
We were based in Italy. On the eastern coast, there's a little knob, as you see, jet, and we're just inland from that. When we took off to the east, we were over the Adriatic. So, and we would fly and escort B-17s and B-24s over Germany.
Okay. Where were those aircraft coming from?
They were all based in Italy. It was 15th Air Force, say, in Italy's 15th Air Force. 8th Air Force was an England thing.
Yeah.
And we would meet them and escort them over Germany and then bring them back to where they were safe.
How long were those missions?
Oh, those missions were maybe 8-9 hours.
Okay.
For the bombers.
Right.
For us, it was about somewhere from about 4 to 6 hours.
Okay.
At the most. The longest one, about 6 hours, something like that. The longest one we had was from a mission over Berlin, which we went to.
So being based out of Italy, your flights were a little shorter than the guys who were in England.
They could be a little shorter, yeah.
Any interesting experiences that you'd like to share with us during some of those missions?
Well, the thing is, the only time I got to fire my, by the time I got there, there weren't many 109s around. The only fighters I saw were the 262s. And when we turned into them, they were always too fast. They left us. So the only time I fired my guns was when we bring the bombers back, if we had enough fuel, we'd go back over Germany to strafe things on the ground to keep them from moving things around. And the only time I fired my guns was at targets on the ground.
I'm talking with Lieutenant Colonel George Hardy, one of the original Tuskegee Airmen. When you wrapped up your World War II career, that wasn't the end of your aviation career. You came back to the States, you went to school for a while, and then got called back into active duty.
Yes, I got out in 46, end of 46, and went to NYU for a year. I got married also. But I was recalled active duty in June of 48. And when I went back in, I went into maintenance. Electronics maintenance, and I went to school for a year from 48 to 49. By then, racial integration had taken place in June of 49, and suddenly the all-black group at Lockburn received orders transferring them to bases all over the world, you know. And so when I graduated in August of 49, I received orders to the 19th Bomb Group on Guam in the Western Pacific, a B-29 outfit, as a maintenance officer, and I served with them, but as a pilot, I also got to fly with them.
Awesome.
And when the Korean War started, we moved to Okinawa, and I ended up getting 45 combat missions in B-29.
Mm-hmm. So how did you make the transition? I mean, normally a military pilot stays single-engine, multi-engine, mm-hmm. and so you made the transition from single to multi. How did that come about?
Well, the transition came about because of my electronics. When I went through electronics school, I learned electronics on all airplanes in the service. So when I wanted to go to a fighter group in the Defense Command, those fighter airplanes with radar, but no, I got the B-29s thing. And so since I was there, I loved working with maintenance people there. But then I started flying the airplane, and I checked out in the airplane. I was qualified. And so they put me on a combat crew.
Wow.
Just before the war started.
Okay. What were those missions like in the B-29 in Korea versus World War II?
Well, they were longer. In fact, my last mission was over 11 hours. It was a bombing mission on the Yellow River, and we had problems. And the problem with that was I was flying an unscheduled mission. A fellow saw me one day, and a very good friend who I met when I first got in the 29 outfit. And he asked me, "Are you flying tomorrow, George?" He asked me if I'd fly as co-pilot the next day, and I said yes. And just before we got off the truck from briefing to get to the airplane, and the truck lurched, and I fell and caught myself on my left side. I didn't realize it, but I fractured a bone in my elbow. I didn't realize it wasn't painful, so we went through everything, and we took off. It wasn't until we got in the air when I hit the landing gear switch that I felt something in my elbow. And we had to live through 11 hours of that. But we bombed a bridge across the Yalu River. The Chinese were bringing things across. They were in the war then, see. And we bombed in three-ship formation. But we had to bomb just the southeastern portion of the bridge because all the western part was Chinese. We didn't want to bomb on their side. So we bombed the southeastern side.
Yeah.
But by the time that happened, my elbow was really hurting, and we flew back about 5 hours back, and I opened my E&E kit. Someone suggested a shot of morphine, which I did, and the pain went away. But anyway, we got back and landed, and they found a fractured bone in my elbow.
Oh my!
And that was my last mission.
Okay.
45th mission.
Mm-hmm. And you also served in Vietnam, 70 combat missions in Vietnam.
70 combat missions, a gunship over there.
Which model?
The C-119. You know what the C-119 is? C-119 is a troop carrier plane, an eggshell fuselage with twin booms. During the Vietnam War, that spooky, the C-47. They wanted to go to 130s, but they couldn't get enough 130s, so they modified 52 119s, 26G models and 26K models. Yeah. The K models were the heavier versions. The G models had miniguns on it.
Yeah.
The K models had miniguns plus 20-millimeter Gatling guns,
yeah.
Six rotating barrels. And they were used to hit trucks
right.
coming from North Vietnam. And that's the plane I flew. But because of the Gatling guns, the extra weight, the plane was over its design weight. And they had to put two jet engines on it also. So we had two props and two jets for takeoff and to stay in the air for a while. And that's the plane I flew in Vietnam.
Excellent. Now, you are here as an honored guest at Air Venture. Where are some of the places that you'll be visiting throughout the week?
Oh, I'm not sure. It's a schedule out there. They gave me the schedule, and people are driving me to each one. But I'll be talking
good.
At various places. In fact, I've got to go by Boeing now because...
Yep. Over to the plaza?
I was at their rollout of the T-7 yep. advanced trainer in April. And so I want to visit them now. I have their white cap with the T-7 on it.
Excellent.
So I've got to visit with them.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time out of your very busy schedule and joining us for a few minutes here. Lieutenant Colonel George Hardy, one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, it's always a pleasure and an honor to talk to you.
Well, I will say one thing.
Sure.
People can't be here. I'm amazed at the number of airplanes you have on the ground here, the acres of them.
Yes.
You know, the people that come into this place.
And I have heard some statistics. The control tower says that they are up significantly from last year in aircraft operations, and I know the vintage people have more aircraft on the ground than they had last year, so it's continuing to grow. There's plenty of airplanes here, that's for sure.
It's obvious. Just taking one look down there.
Again, thank you, General George Hardy, for being here today, and enjoy the rest of your time here at AirVenture.
Well, thank you.
This is EIA Radio.